Did I say Hebrews 11? I meant Hebrews 12. We were in Hebrews 11 for so many weeks. it's just like a recording. We are finally done Hebrews chapter 11. As of 2 weeks ago, I had to be gone last week. I need to be out of town at a meeting with Dr. George Wood and a group of pastors, so I won't be back in time for the prayer meeting next Wednesday night. I'm leaving. I'll just be gone during the week next week, but Roger Cotton is going to be speaking next Wednesday night here. I'm so grateful, Roger, for that. You will not want to miss Dr. Cotton, hearing him speak next week. But we are now at the end of chapter 11. The last verse of chapter 11 says, God plans something better for us so that together with us they would be made perfect. Speaking of all these heroes of faith in chapter 11 and all the others that they represent. And of course, he starts painting with a very broad stroke of a brush towards the end of the chapter 11, whereas early in chapter 11 he's picking out individuals like Enoch and Abraham and Moses. Now he speaks of all of these who both experienced great triumphs and also amidst great apparent pain and failure demonstrated their faith through their endurance. They would not renounce Christ even though they were tortured and sawn in half and scattered to live in mountains and caves. And the world is not worthy of them, in verse 38. But they were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what's promised. But we now, in Jesus, have what's received, what has been promised. Everything that faith looked towards in the Old Testament and everything that faith looks towards now in the New Covenant is all centered in that person, Jesus Christ. Of course, this reminds us of this whole instruction, all the different facets of faith operates, our way of encouraging, a way of creating a crowd of witnesses, as he'll refer to them next, of creating a gallery of case studies whose lives and life examples in faith encourage us not to shrink back. Hebrews being written to groups of people who are feeling the vice of imperial persecution from the Roman Empire on one side and religious persecution from the Jewish community on the other. And these four, probably many of them former Jewish priests and devout Jewish believers who become Christians, they were being tempted to renounce Christ and move back into a pre-Christ condition in the protective confines of Judaism, where their Jewish brethren would no longer persecute them. And Judaism, of course, was one of the few protected religions by the Roman Empire. They could be safe. They could be comfortable. They could protect their lives back there. And the whole force of Hebrews is to plead with these people to not go back to a pre-Christ condition. So now he's marshaled all of these heroes of faith as if they fill a great cheering gallery, calling them to not give up, to endure like they endured in faith. And that's why these marvelous, wonderful, rather famous, well-known verses in the beginning of chapter 12. Therefore, verse 1, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the witnesses are the heroes of faith referred to in the previous chapter, and the life examples of all that have gone before us that did not give in or give out. The life examples of people who clung by faith for what's not seen, their eternal reward, in spite of what happened to them. Their life examples, the life examples of people we may even know in our own lives that have inspired us to stay faithful to Jesus, these we could throw into the gallery as a great cloud of witnesses. And that word cloud, it does refer to, in a physical sense, a massive cloud formation. This isn't just a little wispy kind of haze in the sky. This is a massive cloud formation. You'd use this word for that, but it also at times was used when it referred to a very large group of people. Listen, folks, there's a very large multitude that has stayed faithful to God, no matter what it costs them. And some of them have sent armies fleeing, and others, when armies overtook them, they still didn't renounce Christ. There is a great crowd of people whose life example should cheer us on and motivate us to the same kind of tenacious faith, clinging to Jesus no matter what. So therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Now, how many runners do we have in the crowd tonight? Me and one other. Okay. Walkers? Hey. We'll count that as slow motion running. You're in. You're all in tonight. Because running, like it or not, I ran this morning. I kind of haven't been feeling well the last 2 weeks. I've had a cold and finally over it, thank God. Thanks for praying for me. And I went out running this morning for the first time in 2 weeks. I did a 3 or 4 mile run this morning. And I was running down and I saw this guy kind of roll down his window and wave at me as he was going down the road. And I was running. I thought I was actually feeling pretty good. And boy, it felt good, even for being out of it for a couple of weeks. And I just felt energy. It was wonderful. It just felt good to run again. And turned out it was Charlie Arsenal, the pastor at Evangel Temple. And he called me about something else this afternoon. And he said, Jim, he said, how far did you run this morning? You looked terrible. I go, thanks, Charlie. I said, well, I haven't run for 2 weeks. I probably was showing, I guess. But I don't know what I look like out there today. I once heard a pastor, he was like humongously out of shape and overweight and unhealthy. And he said, you'll never get me to run. He said, I have not yet seen a runner with a grin on his face and his hands in the air shouting, hallelujah. And until I do, I'm never going to get me out there. Well, I happen to like running, even though some people believe the word like and running don't belong together. But whether you like running or not, you have to face the fact that when it came to describing our call and our perseverance and our ultimate fulfillment of God's purpose, it seems running was one of the metaphors of choice that the Apostle Paul would pick up on. Way back there in Acts chapter 20, he's meeting for the last time with the elders of the Ephesian church, and he said, I don't count my life dear to myself. For, he says, I must finish my race, which is to share the grace of the gospel of Jesus to the Gentile. He called his life mission his run, his race. He says in Galatians chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, I don't run aimlessly, but I run with intention to please the Lord. He says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 2, he said, when I went back to Jerusalem, I met with the apostles secretly at first to submit my life and my story of God's grace to them, lest, he said, I had run in vain. He characterizes his whole spiritual journey as a run. Who can forget 2 Timothy chapter 4, one of his last correspondence to his son in the faith, Timothy. He said, I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. I think King James says finish the course, but he wasn't referring to a college course. He was referring to a running course. He said, I have finished the race. And then in these marvelous verses in Hebrews chapter 12, he said, in light of the galleries being stacked full, it takes us back a few weeks. Even though Michael Phelps and swimming kind of eclipsed a lot of other things at the Olympics, I hope you saw some of the running in that massive bird's nest stadium there in Beijing, China. And back in the time of Paul, the races were the most popular, The running was the most popular athletic event. Everything of highest prestige was associated with the person who won the race. And so Paul picks up on this amazing metaphor one more time, running. And he says, we're surrounded with this great cloud of witnesses. So let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. When early runners in Paul's era in the first century trained, of course they didn't have wonderful Nike shoes to keep injuries from their feet and all. Sometimes they would literally run naked or almost so. They would take off every possible piece of clothing. They'd probably be running barefoot, and they were told train until they hardly had an ounce of body fat anywhere on their body. And they shed anything that could slow them down. They shed anything that could get in the way and hinder. And he said, let's get rid of all the excuses. Let's grow up in Jesus. Let's get over the excuses. If it's holding you back from going 100% for God, get rid of it. It's holding you down in a wrong way. We got to run to complete. And he said, let's run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. That's very wonderful wording. The race that's marked out for us. He is not talking about beating somebody else. The emphasis is not on you running faster than somebody else. The emphasis is that you complete the course. God's issue is not you beat the person beside you. God's issue in this great run is that you complete the course and you finish. You finish intact with the God who can keep you and carry you. That's what the verse we read out of Jude. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. He is able to help us make it to the end. God has something he wants us to finish. Part of the run means, and the course set before us means that God has a finish line. And that finish line is Jesus Christ himself. So the next verse says, so let's fix our eyes on Jesus. I want to tell you the finish line for our destination, for our race, it's not a prize. It's not an accomplishment. It's not an achievement. Our finish line is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. It's to stand complete in him in the last day. To have him look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. To have him look at us and we can say, we have run this course in a way in which we're not going to give out part way. We are going to finish this course by the one who is able. And so he says, we, that's our finish line. That's our finish line. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The author means he's the one that started us out on this journey. He's the one who's scripting it and writing and laying out the course before us. And the finisher means we can finish because of him. He is the one who gives us energy. I know when I run, I have to be careful what I eat. I have to be careful that I get enough rest. And there's certain things I need to do to keep my energy up, to stay in shape. I need to run regularly if I'm going to keep my energy up. And there are days I go out running, and you know, I can't understand this about these old bodies of ours, but there's days I go out running, and I can tell after the first 2 minutes, this is going to be a tough one. You know, and I don't know, yesterday, it was like sailing with the wind. I had energy to burn. And today, it's like it's an effort to put one foot in front of another. I don't know why some days you have it, and some days you don't. That's just the reality of running. And I want to tell you, some days spiritually we feel like we have it. The wind is at our back. God is moving. And other days you try to put one foot in front of another spiritually and you wonder, what happened? What left me? This is like pushing against running through mud. I mean, what is going on? But I want to tell you, I don't care if you have the days where your body just feels spiritually out of it or into it. It doesn't matter. We have a completer to our faith. Amen? There is never a reason to give up. Some days the run's a little harder than other days, but there's never a reason to give up because he is not just the author of our faith, but he's the completer. He's the finisher of our faith. Because of him, we can get to the finish line. There are no excuses. Because of him, we can get to the finish line. And so, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured, that's the key word, who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That's God's bottom line agenda. That's why he gave us all of Hebrews chapter 11. That's why he's filled the galleries with faith examples that have gone before us. Because he does not want us to grow weary and lose heart. And that's ultimately why we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. This is all about him. This is not about being appreciated for your ministry, although I hope you are. This is not all about, oh God, why, you know, why some days I don't see the fruitfulness I do other days. This is not anything about that. This is all about Jesus and his purpose and him becoming your finish line in life. And as a result, we endure. So I want you to go back to verse 1. Here we have endurance. So let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. And then he gives us the ultimate champion. The ultimate champion of perseverance and endurance. We fix our eyes on Jesus, not just because he's the finish line, but because he is our example of endurance, who for the joy set before him. It wasn't the joy of being tortured on a cross, believe me. It was the joy of having a relationship with you and I. Even more importantly, it was the joy of knowing that he will have been fully obedient to the Father, who for the joy set before him. I went running one morning, and I drove my oldest daughter back when she was still going to high school to high school. And she said, I made some comment that I'd been out running that early that morning. And she said, Dad, she says, how far did you go today? I said, oh, 4 miles. She said, how do you know how far to run on a given day? And I said, that's a very good question. Because if I start out and I focus on how I'm feeling, I don't get very far. And she forced me to explain something that I did without really thinking about it. I said, Meredith, before I start out, I tell myself how far I'm going to run. And then I picture the whole route, because I have 3 different routes and I know exactly how long each one of them are. I pick one of them depending on how much time I have that day or how much energy. And I said, I picture the route in my mind before I even start on it. So the only thing I have in my mind is I'm going to run that complete route. And it keeps me from thinking about how I'm feeling halfway. And it helps me with that endurance. And this is what Jesus did. He didn't set himself his attention only on the dread of the cross. He set his attention on the finish line beyond the cross. That's part of how he endured. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the satisfaction of knowing I ran the whole course that I intended to run today, I'm going to start out and not give up. And this is what happened to Jesus. And I want to tell you, he ran right past the emotional pain of the cross. He scorned the shame of the cross. And he ran right past the physical pain of the cross. It says he endured its shame and endured the cross and scorned its shame, right past the emotional pain, right past the physical pain, and all the way to the right hand of the Father. Jesus endured to the end until all was accomplished. And he said, He's the spiritual track star who sets the pace. And so we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he kept the finish line. Just like we're supposed to keep Jesus at the center, he kept the finish line in mind. The joy set before him. And he ran past the emotional pain and shame. And he ran past the physical pain of the ordeal of the cross. And he ran all the way to the place of being accepted by the Father. And he did it for you and me. And so he said, you ought to, therefore. He said, consider him, verse 3, who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Sometimes the most spiritual thing God can say to us is, get over your excuses, get your eyes back on Jesus, and don't give up. Sometimes that's the most spiritual thing we can do, to get our eyes off our excuses and all the stupid distractions and get them back on Jesus and say, God, give me that heart as we prayed today that just absolutely passionately loves you, where it's all about you, and help me run with endurance. Now, I don't know if this is the right thing to do with Scripture, but towards the end of one of the routes I take, like I took this morning, there's 2 very steep hills back to back just before a little downhill run back to my house. And so it comes about the 3.5 mile point, and you're a little tired. And so I went up that hill this morning. And I often quote Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. I hope that's okay. This is just my confession. And I'll say to myself, so let us run with endurance the race set before us as I start up that hill. Let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking under Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, is now set at the right hand of the Father. And I'll just pray this simple prayer. I said, if Jesus could endure the cross, I can handle this hill. If Jesus could endure the cross, I can gut up to do this hill. And you know, in some ways with our running life, that's what we say, especially on the days where it feels sluggish and just pushing against everything. That's sometimes what spiritual warfare feels like, just pushing against hell itself to move forward. But you know what? Here's the great news. If Jesus could endure the cross, he, the author and perfecter of our faith, if he could endure the cross, we can make it. Amen. We can make it, no matter what that day's thrown against us. And in some sense, that's a life prayer for me. Jesus, if you can endure the cross, I can get through anything today. Just like I pray, Lord, if you endured the cross, I can get up this hill today. Hallelujah. What an example he is. What a pace setter he is. What a God he is. Just says, just don't give up. And I'm going to be there energizing you the whole way. Amen. Will you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just give him praise tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for the wind, the breath, the strength, the energy you give. You are the author and the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. And thank you, Lord. Give us wind and energy and strength to not give up in this great run of fulfilling your purpose in our lives. The great race of sharing the gospel with every person that Paul identified as his race. Help us to finish the course, not to beat somebody else, but Lord, to finish to the end of the course that you've set before us. Help us to run with all your heart and all your energy and all your strength. We love you tonight. We bless you tonight. We thank you for the privilege of praying together. We thank you for this time around your word. Thank you for fellowship with one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.